So you can write things down and ask Dr. Mingus.
Get that up there a little bit more. Can you hear me? Okay, the title of mine is Readiness for Physical Activity Among Persons at Risk for Diabetes. I'm from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and I did this study actually when I was living in Indiana and taught nursing at Purdue University. So my collaborator on this project is Dr. David Randall Black. We call him Randy Black, and he's still at Purdue University. And I have no relationships to disclose and no financial interest in with this research. The background with this study is that diabetes is one of the leading causes of disease burden and disability in the United States. As you probably already know, there's so many comorbidities that are very costly in terms of financial cost and also in human suffering. Diabetes is more than four times greater from the 5.8 million that we had in 1980 to 23.6 million in 2007, probably growing again this year too. Prediabetes is a condition of elevated blood glucose levels, but is not high enough yet to be classified with a diagnosis of diabetes. And it's estimated that 57 million American adults had prediabetes in 2007. I did a postdoctoral fellowship about 5 years ago with the Diabetes Prevention Program, the national study, and did 1 year with the Diabetes Prevention Program Outcomes Study, and that was in Indianapolis at the Med Center. What I learned in that postdoc experience was that diabetes could be prevented or delayed. And physical activity is one of the most recognized behaviors for preventing type 2 diabetes, although they found that diet did too. But if you look at the literature, it's physical activity is the main behavior that will prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. So, however, we can tell people that they need to improve their physical activity or diet, but I think all of us who work in the healthcare field know that these behaviors are difficult to get people to change. And any of you who have tried to change your own behavior, I think you realize that behavior is difficult to change too. So an assessment of people's beliefs about their physical activity at stages of readiness for change could help inform interventions if those beliefs change at each stage. Randy Black and I were thinking that if we knew what concepts or constructs were present between stages of behavior change, we thought that could inform an intervention so that we could influence those beliefs that people have. So the purpose of this study was a cross-sectional study. We wanted to examine the relationship between theory of planned behavior constructs and the stage of readiness for physical activity change for people at risk for diabetes. And we used Prochaska and DiClemente's stages of change from transtheoretical model. Oops. This is the conceptual framework with the theory of planned behavior, with intention being the immediate predictor of behavior, and then there are attitude, subjective norm, and perceived behavioral control constructs that influence intention. But what forms those three constructs are behavioral beliefs, normative beliefs and control beliefs that people have that develop into attitudes, subjective norm, and the perceived control concepts. So we really wanted to look at the belief systems. So we're looking in this study at just the beliefs in the model. And then instead of intention and behavior, we looked at the stage of readiness, at those stages, because they have intention and behavior measures built into them. They're just more specific than what Eisen's conceptual framework is. So the stages of readiness to change are pre-contemplation, when people are not considering change, maybe have not even thought about it until you ask them the question. Contemplation, they know about or maybe know that they should change, but they're very ambivalent about it. Preparation is they're making plans to change but have really not attempted the behavior. When they get to an action stage, they actually have tried out the new behavior, maybe are practicing ways to change, but that it's not a sustained behavior, not a habit. And then maintenance is more habitual behavior, which is sustained. And this comes from Prochaska and Velliser's work and others. I should say that's just one study. So this is the framework that I used for this study, looking at behavioral beliefs, which are the outcomes of a particular behavior, in this case physical activity, the positive or negative outcomes, and those are actually measured by multiplying those by the strength of those outcomes. Normative beliefs have to do with the important reference that a person has or the people who would think that they should or should not get physical activity. And that is multiplied by motivation to comply with those reference that they have. And then the control beliefs have to do with factors that are present in their life that could make getting physical activity easy or difficult. And then those are multiplied or weighted by the power of those factors over people. So we used a convenient sample of 106 people, and we sent out questionnaires in this study to people who answered a newspaper ad or answered a just an invitation that we had put around in grocery stores and so forth in our community. It was a sample from the Midwest, specifically in Indiana. Our inclusion criteria was that they had to be adults older or at 21 years old or older and at risk for diabetes. And we defined that as a score of 10 or more on the American Diabetes Association diabetes risk test. They had to be English speaking and reading because we wanted to mail them a questionnaire, and not currently participating in regular physical activity. So we didn't want people who were in the maintenance stage of physical activity. We wanted the people who were not regular exercisers. We used a self-administered mailed questionnaire. It had 74 items in total. We had 15 behavioral beliefs and the corresponding outcome evaluations. That scale, we measured reliability, and it was 0.93 with Cronbach alpha. The normative belief scale had 6 product items with an alpha of 0.87, control beliefs 12 items with a Cronbach alpha of 0.89, so they were reliable scales, we thought. We had one item for stage of readiness, and we had 8 demographic types of items. We use discriminant function analysis to look at the differences in the beliefs by the stage of readiness, and then we looked at analysis of variance, and then we used a Bonaferroni test to compare adjacent stages. We didn't really want to look at pre-contemplation with action, for example. We wanted to look at adjacent stages because we were feeling that if there was a change in belief from one stage to the next, then that would be a good item to focus on or a good topic to focus on to move people from that one stage to the next. So that was why we only compared adjacent stages in the study. Well, as expected, Indiana, where we are, was only about 3% African-American blacks, and so we thought we did well to get 22%, almost 23% blacks, but most of our sample were whites. We didn't have any Hispanics, unfortunately, in it because diabetes is also a problem with Hispanic people. We had mostly women, mostly married, and most, 83%, had a greater than high school education, so they were well educated, which from my experience in doing this type of male research and samples that you get from convenience, you usually get people who are interested in the topic and they tend to be higher educated and higher income people. So age, we're from 31 to 74, and we use categories to measure age. So almost half of them were in the 41 to 50-year-old category, so kind of middle-aged. 80% reported that they had a parent with diabetes. Almost 20% reported a sibling with diabetes, so we did get people who had the risk factors. 80% were overweight or obese, and 71% were obese out of the sample. So mostly they were obese and not just overweight. And their mean body mass was 32.1, which is obese. Most of the people were in the action stage, so they did have some physical activity, but it wasn't regular physical activity. And then we had the majority of the others were contemplation and planning. As we wanted, there were none in the maintenance phase, and that was one of our inclusion criteria, was that they weren't, so we didn't get any. And only 2.8% were in pre-contemplation, so that was very small. So we didn't analyze people who were in the pre-contemplation stage because we thought that was such a small number of people that it wouldn't be very statistically meaningful to us. So the analysis that I'm going to show you next, we just use contemplation, planning, and action. In this is our discriminators of stage of readiness for physical activity, and you can see that the overall percentage of correctly classified cases was 61.2%. So the predicted group membership was fair. I won't say it was perfect, but it was a little bit over half. In the ANOVAs, the behavioral beliefs predicted people being in each stage, the differences between stages. We used a mean of the behavioral beliefs for the analyses. The normative beliefs were also statistically significant, as well as control beliefs. So there were differences between stage. Then we used the Bonaferroni to see which stages were differences. So with the behavioral beliefs, there really were no differences between the stages, with the Bonaferroni between adjacent stages. With the normative beliefs, there were differences between contemplation and planning, and also between contemplation and action. So the normative beliefs did turn out to be predictive of people being going from one stage to another. In the control beliefs, there were differences between contemplation and planning, and also between contemplation and action. Okay. So there was modest support, but it wasn't as good as what we thought it would be for classifying persons by stage of physical activity based on theory of planned behavior constructs. The control beliefs followed by normative beliefs were the best discriminators of groups in this study, and I've done past studies that just used the theory of planned behavior, and the control beliefs are the best predictors in the theory of planned behavior with people at risk for diabetes and looking at their physical activity. So that really didn't surprise me very much, the finding. So the focus of interventions, we could help people control factors that promote or inhibit their physical activity and help them to use those factors and at least be aware of those factors so that they can be useful to them as individuals in planning their physical activity. And then strengthening relationships with people who can encourage their physical activity seemed to be helpful too, as an outcome of this study. Recommendations for future research. We want more longitudinal studies. I did a pilot study not long ago that I did look at these beliefs as people went through stages of behavior, and the beliefs did change if you focus on the beliefs with an intervention. So, and that did help move physical activity along. So there's some suggestion that longitudinal studies may show a little bit better that beliefs do change as stages, as people progress in stages. A sample representing all five stages of readiness for physical activity would be more informative than what we used. So I would suggest trying to get pre-contemplators, although if people aren't thinking or interested about a particular behavior, it might be difficult to recruit pre-contemplators into a study. And then a more culturally diverse sample. And I just want to thank the Diabetes American Association of Diabetes Educators and Sigma Theta Tau International gave me a grant to develop the questionnaires that I used for the study, and then Indiana University School of Nursing T32 training grant in my postdoctoral fellowship gave me provided support for me to conduct this study. So thank you very much.
We do have time for a question or two if anyone has immediate questions. Okay.
Okay.
Then our next presenter will be Mr. Henry Guevara.